Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's Evangelism Bundle. But first, here's the message, The Great Race.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews. In your New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Running is now an international pastime. Since the father of aerobics, Dr. Ken Cooper, inaugurated the fitness revolution with his book published in 1968, Aerobics, and throughout the 1970s and 80s and beyond, it seemed the whole world seemed to have laced up their shoes, hit the streets, pounded the pavement. And millions of people have discovered in this fitness revolution the value of exercise. Running, walking, and cycling, and lifting has become a way of life for men and women of all ages. And we, of course, are discovering that everything improves with exercise. It is good for you, body, soul, and spirit. And once you commit to exercise, you discover all kinds of health benefits as well as emotional benefits. There are even chemicals in the brain, we're told, called endorphins that kick in when you exercise at the right pace and long enough. And it is the feel-good chemical, and it is a pain reducer. And we could go on and on and on, of course, and we've been keeping up with the value of being in shape and staying in shape. Now, we know there's no easy way to be fit, to be in shape, especially if you get out of shape. And it requires discipline and determination. Well, there is another kind of running that requires both discipline, devotion, and determination. This is what I'm going to call the great race. The great race. It is the race that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is running. And the Apostle Paul often spoke of the athletic arenas of his own day and of the contest of the ancient world in which men would run and be judged upon their running, and their value as an athlete was determined at the bema seat as they would stand before judgment. And often we read in the Bible that we are to compete as spiritual athletes, that our Christian faith is to be muscular in the way we respond and the way that we run. So verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Indeed, if you are a follower of Christ, then you are in this great race, a spiritual race that requires endurance and commitment. But the results, the benefits of running this race are immeasurable. Now, if you have ever been a runner, you know that there are all kinds of reasons to give up and quit. Everything from side stitches to shin splints to weather-related problems to fatigue. Sometimes just getting off the couch and moving is like climbing Mount Everest. But once you get going, you discover the pleasure and the profit of exercise. So it is in the Christian faith. Once you get moving forward in this life, is you get off the spiritual couch, and rather than being a spectator, you become a runner, and you begin running towards the reward. You have something to say about how you run this race. There are some who have fallen away from their faith. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Hebrews in your New Testament is written to encourage believers to press on in faith, to move forward in following Christ, to not look back, never go back, and certainly not to quit. Why? Because the Christian life, this race, is not a short burst. It is not a sprint, but it is a marathon. And I might add, it's a marathon with an obstacle course included. So the question is, how do we keep on trekking? How do we keep moving forward as we follow Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? What is the secret to spiritual longevity? What steps can I take in my Christian life to assure that I will not be a spiritual casualty, but that I will make it all the way to the finish line, and not only to the finish line, but to finish with a flourish, in victory, with hands and head held high, celebrating what God has done? How can I so run for the reward of hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Now, we need to be asking these kinds of questions, because one of these days, every one of us will finish the race that we've been running. And whether we win or whether we lose this race depends upon how well we run. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Run, he said, that you may win. One day, each one of us will die and stand before God, and our lives will be evaluated. Of course, when we die, someone is going to stand up and say a few words about us at our funeral service. And I just wonder, what are people going to say about you when that time comes, when you come to the end of the race? Will there be much to say? I heard about a man who died, and his wife was contacting the newspaper to give the obituary information. So the writer of the obit column just said, "Okay, what would you like to say about your dearly departed husband?" And she thought for a moment and say, "Well, just say he died." And the newspaper person said, "Well, you need to say a little more than that. There is a minimum of words for the obituary. So, you know, what else would you like to say?" And the lady thought for just a moment and said, "Okay, put this: the Volvo is for sale." Now, unfortunately, there's not much to say if we do not live our lives running the race hard after God. What matters most, of course, is not what men may say about us, but what God says about us. For we will stand before this judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards if we have run well. Many have received accolades and the applause of men and of this world's trophies, but have nothing much to show for their life in Christ. In heaven, God will applaud those who have been faithful and fervent in the race for Him. And did you know that the Lord will not overlook even the smallest act of kindness, even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, if this is done for His glory? There are certain things that only God sees and only God knows. Jesus said this in Matthew 6 and verse 4, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." The Scripture says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I said just a moment ago that the judgment seat refers to these platforms in the ancient world in which contestants and sometimes criminals in the civil arena would be judged. Several summers ago, we were in Greece and we went to the ancient ruins of Corinth to see this city to whom Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, these believers who were living in a very corrupt and pagan city at that time. But there in the midst of this city and all these ancient ruins, you can actually see a bema seat where the judgments of the city took place. And nearby is a tremendous arena where the Corinthian games took place, and the athletes from the world came in and participated. And there at the bema, they were crowned, they were rewarded, just as the Apostle Paul is saying to us that one day we will stand at this judgment seat of Christ and we will be rewarded. Now, God promises our place in heaven, and we are secure in our place and in the promise of heaven. But how we run determines our position in heaven. Now, let me say that again. The promise of God, His grace, secures our presence in heaven. But how well we run this race, this great race of life, determines our position in heaven. Salvation, God's grace, puts us in and keeps us in the race, but it is our service and our sacrifice that produces a heavenly prize, a heavenly reward.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Great Race. You have a God-given calling to take the gospel to the world. That's why we've put together a special bundle of resources to help you grow in your love of the gospel and share it with others. This evangelism bundle includes three of Pastor Jack Graham's books, The Hope of Easter, Life Book, and God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days. This evangelism bundle is our thanks for your gift today. And thanks to a generous matching grant, your gift today will be doubled. So call now to request your evangelism bundle when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Great Race.
The promise of God, His grace, secures our presence in heaven. But how well we run this race, this great race of life, determines our position in heaven. Now, many people spend their days on earth just simply wasting time, wasting their lives in 1,000 trivial pursuits. Many of these things are good things. Many of these are in and of themselves certainly not bad things, but they weigh us down, they hold us back. Even as the scripture says here, let us lay aside every weight. A weight is anything that would impede our effort or slow us down, just as a runner would strip down to almost embarrassing proportions at times to run a race, lest anything hold him back. We are to make sure that there is nothing in our lives that would keep us from moving forward fervently in the race. It can be anything. It could be our careers. It could be a hobby. It could be listening to music. It could be watching television. I read this week that the average American, get this, spends 15 years in their lifetime watching television. Well, one day God is going to ask each one of us about our lives. How did you use your opportunities, your resources, your time, your talents? What did you do to advance the kingdom of God in your lifetime? What did you do to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people are in heaven because you shared, because you served, because you witnessed? Now, I can't tell you how important this is, because how many people come to the end of the race with regrets? If only I had known what I know now, I would have lived my life differently. If only I had known the joy of serving Christ all of my life, I would have lived a better life for Christ. We don't want to live a life that is filled with regrets. Now remember, we don't know the end of the race. We don't know how long we have to run. No doubt you expect to live a very long life, and that's fine. You expect to live to be 80 or 90, and then at the end, to lay down in bed, gather your kids and your grandkids around you and make a few final pronouncements and last will and testament, and then just close your eyes and die. But frankly, it doesn't happen that way all the time. Sometimes some of us may live long lives, some of us may not. And that is why in the time that we've been given, however long that time may be, we must run passionately and pursue the prize. We need to make every day matter. Because remember, that life is not truly measured in its duration, but in its donation. In other words, it's not how many years I live, but how much of my life did I give? That's what matters the most. Time is of the essence in the great race. And we don't have time to waste this gift of God, this precious gift of God that we call life. And we want to finish, and we want to finish well. And so what can we do? What steps can we take in order to ensure this longevity in the race so that we don't stumble in or fall away or turn back, but that we will finish with a flourish? Well, these verses that we just read speak to us concerning that very issue. So how do we maintain the pace? Finish the course. Well, number one, run with all your heart. Run with everything you've got. Let us run, the scripture says, with endurance. Just as others have faithfully run before us, so are we to run and finish the course. Now, of course, the 12th chapter follows the great chapter of faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And one after another, we have the spiritual biographies, or if you will, the obituaries of the great men and women of faith in the Old Testament and how well they ran the race. And since we are encompassed about by these witnesses, these who have shared their faith before us, we ought also to endure and to exercise our faith. And the common characteristic of men and women who win is that of faith. Over and over again, we read it by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And literally it speaks of faithfulness, exercising that faith. We are not to run half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, following the Lord completely, totally, giving 100% or even more. How many coaches have said through the years to their teams, okay, team, it's time to give 110%. It means that if we are going to run and win this race, that we need to give it everything that we have, to give it all to God, that Jesus is truly first in our lives, that we're to honor Him in all that we do. So when it is time to worship, when it is time to gather with God's people and to lift up the name of Christ, we want to honor Him. So what do? We show up and we say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But how many people today will say, well, you know, I just can't get to church and to worship today. Oh, it's too rainy, it's too stormy, or some people, it's a chore, it's a dread, it's something they have to do. I can't go to church, I'm too busy. I just need to stay home and spend a little quality time with my family. The excuses run rampant, but frankly, so many have made a lifetime of excuses because they lack commitment and discipline and determination and devotion to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same could be said of giving. We ask the Lord to provide for our every need, and He does. He provides for us. We ask the church to meet our need, and the church is always there for us. When we have a funeral or a wedding or a need in our lives or something, some blessing to share. The church, we always expect if we show up that the church is going to be fully operative and that we will experience a great time in church. Well, and that's a good expectation, by the way. And yet, how many of us, while we ask God to meet our needs and the church to meet our needs, how many of us, when the offering plate is passed, we never even consider honoring the Lord with the first fruits of our labor, bringing our tithes and offerings on God's day to God's church and serving. You see, giving is a matter of pursuing spiritual goals in our lives and advancing the kingdom of God. Same could be said of serving. When some are asked to serve, there's always a reason why I can't, or I'm too tired, or I'm too busy, and yet there are hundreds of opportunities for us to exercise our faith and to give it everything we have in serving Christ. So, are you running the race? Are you committed to the prize? Are you faithfully following Christ? If not, I assure you, you are headed for some detours and distractions and perhaps even a fall in your life. I assure you, if you are not committed to Christ full out, then you are in danger of becoming a spiritual casualty. It's just a matter of time that you will be off course and potentially out of the race. And this is why we're told in the scriptures that we therefore are to run with endurance, exercising our faith, and then to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us or clings closely to us, as the ESV says. As I said, the weight is anything that slows us down in the race. The sin is what stops us ultimately in the race. The sin can be anything that is besetting, or that particular sin that holds you back, that addiction, that power of sin that grips you. But most likely, the sin referred to in this passage is the sin of unbelief. It is not trusting in God. It is not following through in faithfulness. It is being an unbelieving believer. And one of the greatest fears of the Apostle Paul, the greatest runner of the New Testament, was the fear that he expressed that somehow he, having preached to others, would be a castaway, that he would be disqualified in the race, that he would allow something to disturb and to distort and distract him from finishing his course in victory. So the second thing that we need to remember if we are going to take these steps forward is not to give in to sin. Refuse to give in to sin. Refuse to compromise in any area of our lives. Every athlete knows the necessity of preparation, the need to stay strong, the need to prepare for the contest, the need to get ready for difficulties. And there are many reasons that an athlete would want to quit, but it's true in a spiritual event as well. As you run, you will face stumbling blocks and detours and temptations. The temptations to go along to get along, the temptation to follow the crowd instead of to follow Christ. And I know some of us think, well, you know, if I follow Christ like this full out with all my heart, there are people who will think I'm a Jesus freak or a fanatic of some kind, and maybe they'll mock me, maybe they'll pass me over for the promotion, maybe they'll think that I'm not a good person or whatever. But remember this, you must always seek God's pleasure, not man's. And to follow after Christ and to keep yourself strong in the race.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Great Race. 3.2 billion people in our world still have no access to the good news of Jesus. And we must do whatever it takes to reach the lost with the hope of Christ. That's why we're excited to tell you about a matching grant that will double whatever you give today to help reach more people through PowerPoint. Your support will help broadcast the gospel into some of the most spiritually dark corners of the earth. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you three of Pastor Graham's books to help you share the gospel right where you are. This evangelism bundle includes The Hope of Easter, Life Book, and God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days. So call now to have your gift doubled by the match and request your evangelism bundle. Call 1-800-795-4622. 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 59789. That's PowerPoint to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
We all know that it is very important to eat right and exercise. According to the scriptures, our bodies are God's temple, and certainly we need to be good stewards of the temple. But being spiritually healthy is even more important. And to be spiritually healthy, you need to exercise your faith. Just as you wouldn't expect to be able to run a marathon without any training, you can't expect to face the trials, the tests, the tribulations of life without first exercising your faith in God, training yourself in godliness and character. Exercising your faith means discipline. It means dedication each day. It means determination to follow through, which means being in God's Word, spending time talking to Him in prayer, and yes, taking steps by faith of obedience in God's will for your life. Each one of these disciplines will help you get stronger and endure and, yes, even enjoy the road ahead. You know, the Bible often describes life as a race. Some of us run the race well, some of us not so well, and some, unfortunately, don't even finish the race. Our goal as believers in Jesus is to run the race of life strong and finish well. And you do this by exercising your faith, by building your faith, strengthening your faith in your walk with Him. Now, there will be times in your life when you're going to be tempted to be lazy spiritually, not taking time out with God, not being disciplined, not being determined. Things are going to come up. Life and just the problems of life will get in your way, and many times excuses start to pile up. But if you make it your priority to exercise your faith and to develop and grow more intimately with God through reading His words and spending time in prayer and sharing your faith, you will be equipped to face all the challenges of life. And when you have the appropriate eternal perspective that God wants you to have, when you put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then everything you're facing in life, all these problems and obstacles, they will shrink in comparison to your faith in God. So, do yourself a favor and work out your faith. The Bible says, work out your faith in fear and trembling. Do it today and every day. And if you do so, you're going to become a spiritual athlete who runs the race of life strong and finishes well, winning in Jesus' name.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, your gift will be doubled by a matching grant. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 59789.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.